For the ones who get it done, the most important part is the one you need now. And the best partner is the one who can deliver. That's why millions of maintenance and repair pros trust Grainger, because we have professional-grade supplies for every industry, even hard-to-find products. And we have same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. But most importantly, we have an unwavering commitment to help keep you up and running. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always the head of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news medias don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening. I think we've got no audio over here at all. So are you there? Are you there, Pastor Joe? Okay.
I'm here. Can hear you.
Pastor Joe is not there. Can you guys hear me in there? Because we've got.
I can hear you.
Alrighty. Okay. Well, good evening. I believe we're on the air. Just in case we are on the air, folks out there. Goodness. All right. There you go. Now, we got off to a rough start tonight, but we're rough here. We're tough. So. Here's what's happening way out in the back in the phone booth back there. We have Randy. And tonight. And we have Frank. But now Eric is not there because Eric today had a transplant, had his pacemaker, a new pacemaker and defibrillator put in. So, and he's doing fine, so that's good. And tonight we have a new fellow in here, one of the brand new volunteers. He's a real estate mogul. He's known far and wide here as being a real activist. Say, hey, Matt Klein.
Hello, Pastor.
All righty, very good. Now, you've heard the cackle there. Go ahead and cackle.
Good evening, everyone.
There you go. That's little Lisa. Now, we're supposed to have Pastor Joe. Pastor Joe, are you there?
I'm here. I can hear everybody loud and clear.
All right, very good. We've had a few problems here getting started tonight. Now, so this is Pledge Week, and I wanted to give the phone numbers out. The numbers are 888-281-1110. That's 888-281-1110. You can go with them now if you want, Matt, out there. And they're Matt's volunteer, and he's in the phone booth. He's answering the phone tonight. And we have a lot to do. So in the glass cage, there our producer is Style, and he's going to.
Good evening, Pastor.
All right. Folks, it's interesting here tonight, but that's the way it always is with us. It's always interesting. Now, wanted to say we came from what a turnout we had at the Tea Party meeting tonight. The place was standing room only. It was filled, I mean, to the very brim. And I want to praise the good Lord because those are my kind of people. Those Christian patriots are my kind of people. Joe, we watched that film tonight, Police State, and boy, I'm going to tell you, that'll wake you up. Watching that film, it'll wake you up. So, anyhow, 888-281-1110 is the phone number, or 888-677-9673. And this is night two of our pledge week. So, Joe, let's get into the scripture. If we, and the scripture tonight.
Making sure your salvation.
All righty.
Or making your salvation sure.
Yep, that'll work. And we pick it up tonight in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. And so, go ahead and why don't you read verses 1 and 2, and then let's comment.
Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord.
So what does he mean by righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ? And then grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. So what is he saying there? He's making a statement, a very clear statement.
Pretty much that, well, our God is a God that is three in one. First, he starts off by saying he's a servant, which is the word doulos, which kind of means slave. I'm a slave and an apostle of Jesus, and that through his righteousness that he is salvation. Christ obtained salvation for us. And then when he says grace and peace be multiplied through the knowledge of God the Father and of course, his Son Jesus Christ, who is, you know, the way to the Father.
Well, so he's making a point that the Lord Jesus Christ and God, meaning the Trinity, are one and the same. Remember
that
the Godhead was found bodily in the person of Jesus Christ, right?
Right.
And so he's making that point, but then he's making another point that Christ is the Savior. Christ is the Savior. And so that's the point that he's making. And then go ahead and read verses 3 through 10.
3 through 10. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And hit the cough button. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall.
So he makes point where he says all things he. That's repeated in verses 3, verse 8 through 10, verse 12, and verse 15. It's repeated over and over. So what does that have to say about what God has provided for us?
He has provided everything we need for life, for salvation, for being born again. He's given us everything we need for everything, basically.
All right, so in verses 5 through 7, He says, and besides this giving diligence to add to your faith, virtue and virtue to knowledge and knowledge to temperance, temperance to patience, patience to godliness and godliness to brotherly kindness and to brotherly kindness charity. So he's talking about seven attributes here. Now these seven attributes are to be added to your faith. Are these attributes something that as you grow in Christ are natural developments?
Yes, there. Once you're born again, you become this new creature, a new creation, and as you start to grow in knowledge and love, you start to have all of these seven things.
All right. Well, then he says this, verse 10, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Now, let me ask you this, okay? Because I have often people will say, you know, I hope I'm saved. I hope I'm saved. Yeah, I said the sinner's prayer. I hope I'm saved. But now, if I were to say, Joe, let me ask you this. Where's some evidence of salvation? If I was to say to you, Sunday morning, would you rather be in church or would you rather be on a golf course? What would you say?
Well, deer stand would be more tempting, but church is the right answer.
Okay.
In fact, many times I'll say, this is the place that I would most rather be, here with the brothers and sisters that God has given me for fellowship and friendship, and to come together to worship and glorify Him, to thank Him, to give Him honor and glory, and to bring all our cares and concerns and grow in knowledge and love of Him.
All right, if I was to say to you, okay, here is one of Rush Limbaugh's new books or God's Word, the Bible. Which one would you rather read?
The Bible. Okay. I read other books, but the number one book that you need in life for everything is God's Word.
All right, then if I say, Joe, tonight we've got a really good Bible study, or there's a concert in town. Which one are you going to attend, Joe?
Well, try not to ever miss a Bible study whenever possible.
Okay. You're kind of old to be going to concerts anyhow, aren't you?
No, I don't know. I love music. We have a lot of Christian concerts and a lot of gospel music out here where I live, a lot of bluegrass and gospel, and yeah, I like concerts.
Do you still shake a leg, Joe?
They don't have them on nights that everybody goes to Bible study.
Okay. What I'm telling Joe, if you take a bird, if the bird's got life in it, and you throw it in the air, what does it do?
Flies.
If you take a fish and the fish got life in it and you put it in the water, what does it do?
Swims.
Because that's what birds do and that's what fish do. Now, if you're a Christian and you've got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in you, what are you going to want to do?
Well, you want to serve. And, one of the things Jesus said, made it very clear, as you do to the least of these, my brethren, my brothers and sisters, you do to me. He wants us to, one, help our neighbors, serve our fellow mankind, and follow His lead, is the obedience to what He tells us to do.
All righty. So now, if you've got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, are you going to be more likely to want to preach the gospel in season and out? Are you going to be more likely to want to feed the hungry and house the homeless and clothe the naked and visit those in prison? Do the things that God's Word, the Bible, demands. Or would you be more likely to want to go around talking and speaking in tongues or doing the prosperity gospel or going out to LGBTQ rallies? Which would you rather be doing?
I don't think God would appreciate very much the LGBTQ rallies. In fact, I think He would find that kind of an abomination.
Well, wait a minute. That's what the United Church of the so-called United Church of Christ, The Episcopal, some of your Lutheran, your liberal Lutheran, this is what they're doing nowadays. They're promoting sodomy.
The Antichrist system, that they have become a part. Their father is now Satan. When they're having sodomite pastor or, you know, priest, well, they call them priests, then it's no longer Christian. You are Antichrist. I don't care what they claim. By their fruit will you know them. And he called sodomy an abomination. So if you have a sodomite priest, he's not a priest at all. He's a hireling and not even Christian.
Well, maybe he's a satanic priest. I'm reading right here, Georgetown University.
A satanic priest, that's why I said his father will be Satan, not God.
So a satanic indoctrination, Georgetown University is forced to fund development, worship of, and lecture using school alumni and donor money. Here, America's oldest Catholic institution, Georgetown University, was forced to host leaders of the Satanic Temple. Donors, alumni, and students were outraged, but certain university leadership fought against the misuse of funds. Once there, the leaders of the Satanic Temple chastised students about their Catholic beliefs and capitalism, and even an appreciation for the American Western culture as a whole. Georgetown's devout Catholic donors unknowingly paid for an anti-God hate group to speak at their university. The Satanic Temple's main documented goal is to dismantle religion and community, specifically targeting Christians. What's happening to this country? How is this allowed? Well, I think Georgetown has been slipping for quite a while, haven't they?
Quite a while, and I'm thinking if anybody keeps donating, all they are doing is joining the other side. They are having fellowship with darkness. They are supporting the death of not only the institution but the nation by indoctrinating our children in the Antichrist system, and that university should have a total, nobody should be donating any money to them whatsoever.
All right, so now, if you still doubt your salvation, if you say, you know, I hope I'm saved. I really hope I'm saved, but I want to be saved, but I'm not sure if I'm saved. What do you do?
If you're not sure, then you're not saved, because when you become born again, you are want to turn from the old ways, your old life, and you want to turn and start moving toward God, getting closer in knowledge and love and obedience. And you can't help but you will be thirsty for knowledge about your new adopted father, about his gospel. You will be excited about telling people that you're born again, that you've been changed, that this marvelous thing has happened to you. You've been forgiven of your sins. You become this new person. And if none of that has happened in your life, then you haven't been saved. It's pretty simple. You will know if you're saved and born again.
All righty. Deacon John pledges 200. Thank you, Deacon John. And let me see. Hector in Michigan pledges 20. And let's see. There's an old guy in Missouri made a pledge. Who was that?
I think it was me. I don't know if you call it a pledge. I went to the website, wrwl.org, and I donated there online, and you can donate using a credit card or PayPal. Very easy, very painless. And I donated $200 tonight before the program.
All right.
And I'm hoping we'll get a few matches. And when you said Deacon John just donated, now we've got two of us, and I'd like to see at least another 10 matches to that.
Okay, let's do that. Beverly in New York just pledged 500. So let's get 10 matches for you and John, and let's get 10 matches for Beverly. That'll work, won't it?
That would work wonderfully. Yeah.
All right. Okay, thank you, Beverly. All right. Let me see. Let's go over now to 2 Corinthians chapter 13.
All right.
And so Here now, let's go ahead and read. Read me verses 1 through 4 and pause.
All right. This is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you, as if I were present the second time. And being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you.
All right, so now, here, we'll go ahead and read one more verse. Read verse 4.
For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you.
So he said he's going to have to repeat himself now. Why do you think he's coming and having to repeat himself?
Because someone in church or the church is still sinning, and he is warning them of their sins.
Okay.
Meaning they weren't really saved. They're still sinning. They haven't started changing like they're supposed to.
Alrighty. So now he says in verse 5, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. No, you are not your own selves, but how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Now,
that means counterfeit, right?
Well, it's got... It can have more than one application.
Yeah.
And but that would be a good one. Counterfeit would fit in here really well. And so
I professed to be born again, but I have no real possession of Christ, no indwelling of the Spirit, so I would be a counterfeit. I would be a reprobate.
Right. So he's telling them, you know, how important is that? How important is that? To examine yourself.
It's everything. It's life and death. It's whether or not you truly are saved and born again, or whether you're deceiving yourself. And when you deceive yourself, it's even harder to get back on the right path because, oh, I'm born again. I've been saved, and I said the words. And I think that's more dangerous than somebody that's arguing with God because you're living in deception. The other person's just struggling to... You know, fighting God, he can accept arguments, but when you deceive yourself, you're in deep trouble.
Okay, now read verse 6.
But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates.
Why do you think he said that?
Because he's verifying his credentials. He is saved. He is a follower. He is a son of the living God. And... those that are children of God will know for sure.
Okay, let me ask you this. If you're a counterfeit, if you're a con man, will you be very likely to suspect others of trying to con you?
Yeah, of course. The first thing you think of, everybody's playing the con game. Everybody's trying to take advantage. You look for it in everyone. It's kind of like if you're a seducer, you're looking at other people to do the same thing. If you're a gambler, you assume other people are going to gamble.
All right, so now he's... Go ahead and read the next verse, verse 7.
Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates.
Okay, so... he's saying we may appear to you, okay, so he's making a point there that we trust that you understand what we're saying is true. It's the word of God, okay?
Yeah.
Now he goes on, he says, for
I
we
think right at the end where he said that ye should do that which is honest. He's telling you, look at the... doing no evil, doing that which is honest and good. But then he's saying at the end, though we be as reprobates, though we be as one who fails.
Alrighty. We'll be right back with more. I feel so certain about this faith of mine. I'm hanging in there, doing fine. King Jesus is a friend of mine. I'm blessed by you. Saving babies, teaching sinners. Hell's for losers, heaven's for winners. This work is not for beginners. I'm blessed by you. I'm coming home someday. Heaven's my way. I'm blessed by you. Where the saints all stay and little children play, I'm blessed by you. Where the saints of old walk on streets of gold, I know that I will see that heavenly prize. It's no surprise how happy I'll be. Family again, gonna be with long lost friends. Maybe soon, I don't know when. I'm blessed by you. Gaining treasures, preaching sinners. Hell's for a loser, heaven's for winners. This world is not for by you. I'm coming home someday. Heaven's my way. I'm blessed by you. Where the saints all stay and little children play, I'm blessed by you. Where the saints of old walk on streets of gold, my mansion on high, through glorified eyes, how happy I'll be. We are back, and I know you've got a lot of calls from folks out there yesterday when, as we replayed yesterday's programs, they're putting in a new system here, so it's a lot of things that are happening, and so I know that we had the first hour played twice. It was played first hour and again second hour, and then so have some patience with us. We're getting it right. We got very good people here, but there might be a dumbhead in there somewhere. If there is, we'll find them. You'll know. Okay. Well, speaking of dumbheads, remember what we played about Barack Obama? Everything we said. Now here, like big news comes out. Hey, guess what? Barack Obama is running everything. Which Joe, we've been talking about this for how long? And
since I think about the time Biden got elected.
Right. And so the pieces we played yesterday Big news, absolute positive proof. Obama started ISIS. Well, guess what? We played, how many years have we been playing that recording of Obama admitting to playing ISIS?
Longer than I can remember, but we were telling about him way back when he was in office, and he wasn't on our side, and he wasn't a Christian, and all kinds of things. We were telling people he was a sodomite, he was a Muslim at heart, and he lies, was, you know, full of deceit, and, I mean, we kind of started and went from there.
Absolutely. And so here, it's in the news. Absolute nonsense. First Amendment expert blasts Obama's free speech claim. Remember, they always do exactly the opposite of what they say they'll do. By the way, I got to get the numbers out. But, oh, boy, phones aren't ringing. 888-281-1110. That's 888-281-1110. Or 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. Some of you out there are supposed to call, and you know it, right? So give us a call. We got to hear from you. We got to stay on the air, because if we're not on the air, then what's Joe and I going to do? We'll just be wandering around out there aimlessly, right, Joe?
Oh, I have a feeling, I hate to say it, but you and I would probably find something pretty worthwhile to do. It's our nature.
So we wouldn't be put out to pasture?
No. I'm a workaholic. There's no way you're going to go to pasture.
All righty. Anyhow, Barack Obama took America far into the shady, shady, dark territories of the left when he was president, taking over the nation's health care system, lashing out at Christians as those who cling to their Bibles and their guns, and stating for the world, America is no longer a Christian nation. Remember how he kept boasting about that?
Mm-hmm. And the Muslim call to prayer is the most beautiful sound in the whole world.
Right. And then he said, Jesus is a savior, but he's only one of many saviors.
Many saviors. Right there we knew he was not a Christian.
Well, when he's...
A Christian would not say that.
Yeah, well, I knew it.
Way to the Father.
Even before he didn't say that, but remember...
But that was...
Remember when he said,
positive.
I am. Then he paused. The one. That you've been waiting for. I am.
Even added.
The one.
The one.
That I've been waiting for.
Yes, I will never forget those words.
So he's been waiting for himself, huh?
Yep.
You weren't waiting for him, were you, John?
No, John.
Well, it's just checking you out, see if you're paying attention. There you go. Yep. Absolute nonsense, charges Jonathan Turley, a law professor at George Washington University, who has testified
no conservative
many times before Congress on constitutional issues. And, you know, so here's a guy that tells you he's not a conservative, but everything he says is a conservative, okay? He's even represented members of Congress in court fights. While claiming to be a First Amendment absolutist, Obama has supported massive censorship on social media and called for the media to frame news to better educate citizens and shape public opinions. In other words, he said, you got to go woke, right?
Right, so, and he was supporting censorship through the United Nations, their efforts to, remember, criticize or criminalize criticism or religion all across the world, and he stood with that. So, you know.
All righty.
Right there, that's kind of against free speech. To, you know, a Christian couldn't say anything against a Muslim. That's kind of a violation of free speech, I'd say.
Yeah. And so here, he explained in an interview with the Verge editor-in-chief, Nile Patel, former President Barack Obama once again claimed that he is virtually a First Amendment absolutist despite supporting censorship for years and years, including United Nations' effort to criminalize criticism of religion on a global scale. There are aspects of the Obama term that I have praised, but his record on free speech is not one of them.
Yeah.
And so especially where it comes now to what has taken place in Gaza. And so, here. Oh, by the way, I got to tell you this. But first, I got to give the numbers out again. The phone's got to start ringing. They got to. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Joe, if you have eight Republicans, when they voted to impeach Secretary Mayorkas, Mayorkas has lied, he has lied, lied, and lied. He has been telling us the border is secure. The border is right. And as you look, and as I've watched him down there and before Congress so many times, when they put him in there, he's told to go in there. I don't care how bad you look, what kind of a fool you look like. You just sit there, and you lie, and you keep telling those lies, right, and lying to Congress. Don't worry about it. We've got the Justice Department. It belongs to us.
Yep.
Now, what happens, Joe, if you have eight Republicans joining the communists to shelve impeachment of Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, who has been purposefully bringing in to our border, purposely bringing in known terrorists, known child molesters, drug cartels, purposely bringing in people into this country who will bring in their fentanyl and have killed thousands and hundreds of thousands of people? And what if you had eight Republicans joining to vote against impeaching him? What would you call
those
Republicans?
They are not Republicans. They are using the name Republican, but they are not Republican. They're Republican in name only. I would call them a traitor to God and country.
Okay.
And liars.
I mean, high rhinos, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Here are the eight Republicans that voted to keep Mayorkas there and keep him bringing in more and more terrorists, bringing in more and more Chinese troops, bringing in more and more child molesters, sex offenders, you name it, drug dealers. These are the eight Republicans that voted for that, Patrick McHenry in North Carolina, Tom McClintock in California, Virginia Fox in North Carolina, Daryl Issa. I'm really surprised about Daryl Issa. I wonder what it cost. I wonder what they got. I wonder how much, you know, what it was that they got, what they were paid, okay? Daryl Issa, California. Cliff Bentz in Oregon. Ken Buck in Colorado. Mike Turner in Ohio, folks. Mike Turner in Ohio.
John Durate?
Durate.
California.
Right. Durate. And so there you go, folks. Those are the ones now here in Miss.
You have those people as your Congress critter. You need to get rid of them. They are not Republicans. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. And these people have done a lot of voting with the Democrats, siding with the Democrats. And they have done more to hurt our country than those Democrats that are least openly our enemy. And come out and tell us who they are. These people are the worst kind because they profess to be on our side while they are, you know, doing everything they can to destroy the Republican Party.
And so the vote went 209 to impeach to 200 not to impeach. So it says here again, well, wait a minute, I guess you'd had to have two-thirds. You must have had because it said the House just voted to shelve the legislation.
Yeah, they're still going to try and get him again, but that's why, you know, it wouldn't hurt if you have any of those people, Patrick McHenry, Tom McClintock, John Durate, Daryl Issa, Cliff Bentz, Ken Buck, or Michael Turner. Any of you have any of those for your Congress critter, you better call and tell them they better start voting like Republicans. They might find themselves out of a job from the next election would be the best thing that could happen to him.
All right. Crystal from California pledged $250. Al in Massachusetts pledged $100. Bill in Boston pledged $100. And B&B in Cleveland pledges $420. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you. All one and all. Yeah.
All righty. 888-281-1110. And so, yeah, we have to make these known. We need to keep reminding people, you know, what they did. I am so tired of being betrayed. Aren't you so tired of being betrayed?
Yeah, I hate that worse than the enemy. Like I said, at least, you know, the squat comes out. You know who they are, what they're for. They call themselves progressives. At least you know. These people, the deceitful, the enemy within, that's the worst kind. The deceivers.
Yeah.
You know, to me, that's worse than anything.
They're parasitical, aren't they?
Yeah, I guess parasitical, but they want to destroy the host, so the way they're going at it, they're going to kill the host.
All right. You wanted to do that article. You've got just enough time to go ahead between now, the Scottish professor's home run explanation to anti-Israel.
Right. This gentleman, Dr. Dennis McEwen. He is not a Jew, but he's a professor at the Edinburgh University, and he's got a long list of bona fides. If I go through it, it'll just take a lot of time. He's got, you know, PhDs and expert in Islamic Arabic studies, Middle East expert, written all kinds of books, hundreds of articles. Anyway, as an expert, he said he was, they made a motion there against Israel and calling it apartheid and all kinds of things. So he said he was shocked. He said, I am shocked for a simple reason. There is not, never has been a system of apartheid in Israel. I have the impression that those members who voted for this motion are absolutely clueless, these students, concerning matters concerning Israel. That they are in all likelihood victims of extremely biased propaganda coming from an anti-Israeli lobby. And he went on to tell folks a few facts. And he said the most obvious focus for apartheid would be that the country is 20% Arab. Under law in Israel, Arabs have exactly the same rights as Jews or anyone else. Muslims have the same rights as Jews or Christians. Bahas is severely persecuted in Iran, flourish in Israel. They have their world center there. There are certain Ahmadi Muslims are severely persecuted in Pakistan and elsewhere, are safe in Israel, and they allowed their holy place, their religion, are protected under a specific Israeli law. And then he said, Arabs form 20% of the university population, which is exactly the same proportion they are citizens. Then he says, well, they're claiming Israel's a Nazi state. And I'm saying, Nazi state? In what sense is this true? Where are the concentration camps, the SS, the Nuremberg Laws, the Final Solution? None of these things are anything remotely resembling, you know, in Israel. Precisely because the Jews, more than anyone on earth, understood what Nazism stood for.
Let me break in for a minute. Bill, or B&G in Cleveland, no, it's Joyce in New Jersey pledges 30. Anonymous in Cleveland pledges 150. And the numbers, folks, the lines are open at 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Go ahead, Joe, because you know what these students, these people that are protesting against Israel, they're described perfectly as well as the political religion of communism is described.
Useful idiots, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that exactly what you were thinking? That was one of those things.
Well,
useful idiots. They've been easily brainwashed, easily led astray, and mostly they're ignorant, right?
Well, Proverbs chapter 1 very, very clearly describes and defines communism. But then it goes on from there. Those that accept this, it refers to as simple-minded. Those that are simple-minded.
Simple-minded, yep.
This is where we get that word simpleton out there today. So these, so if God calls you simple-minded, what are you, Joe?
You are unsaved and pretty much heading in the wrong direction.
So if you see all these students out there participating in this anti-Israel, pro-Hamas, well, you are to tell them that God has said you are simple-minded, aren't you?
Yes, we should be telling them. But I noticed in the pulpits you don't hear much of that kind of thing in the pulpits and churches anymore.
All right, so folks, you know what to do when you see these kids running around out there promoting Hamas. Say, just say, well, you ought to know this, that God says you're simple-minded. Here, let's prove it to them, okay, Joe? Let me take them over to Proverbs 1. If they say, verse 11, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us work privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. Does that sound like communism?
Sure does. One purse, yep. Mm-hmm.
Does that not Everyone sound like...
Equality. They want equal outcomes.
Now, everything I've just equality. Said, does it not sound... Is everything I just said not embraced and is not in the Democratic Party platform?
Well, that the Democratic Party platform is now almost indistinguishable from the Democratic Socialists of America's Party or the Communist Party USA. Their platforms are all identical.
Okay. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privately for their own lives. So are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Is that not what communism does?
Exactly.
Now here it describes those that embrace it. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She cried in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city, uttereth in her words. Now wisdom is God's word. And she's saying, and you're hearing God's word, you're hearing it being preached to you. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? That means ignorance. And scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge.
Hate knowledge. These people that are out in the street, they hate knowledge. They don't want to listen to the truth. They have to be really confronted, like here. They keep talking about how horrible the Israelis are. Well, their hospitals treat Jews, Arabs, Palestinians from anywhere. They use the same hospitals, the same operating. They don't have any separation. In Israel, women have the same rights as men. There's no gender apartheid. Gay and men and women have no restrictions. We know that in Palestine and other Arab states, the Sodomites are killed. And he said, it seems bizarre to me that the LGBT groups call for a boycott of Israel, and yet they say nothing about Iran, where gay men are hanged, stoned, or thrown off of buildings. And he goes, this illustrates a mindset that beggars belief. I mean, how stupid can these people be?
Well, and I just read it to you. Listen, yep, verse 18, they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privately for their own lives. They embrace the very thing that will kill them, huh?
Right, the very thing that will kill them, they're embracing. And so, you know, you're supposed to go to college to learn to use your brain to think, to examine, reach your own conclusions based on evidence that you've, you know, weighed one fact against another. And if these students, he said, at Edinburgh, are the best that we can produce, who have no idea how to do any of these things, then the future of England and the world is bleak, very bleak. So if you think about these things, we are sending our children to the devil, even in England and Europe, to be educated. The colleges and universities are run by the communists, the Marxists, the socialists.
Joe, if you had someone, if you had one of your children graduating from high school, would you instruct them or encourage them to go to college or a trade school?
A trade school, but I've encouraged my grandchildren to go to like Hillsdale College would be my number one pick.
Well, even that, I would today still encourage them to go to trade schools. There's a big shortage.
Good thing, yep.
Right out there today. All right, Tony in Parma pledges 100. Thank you, Tony in Parma. All right, 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. We're going to be coming up to a break, Joe, and then when we come back from the break, were you finished with your article on the Scottish professor's home run?
Pretty much. I wanted to just throw one thing in before the break. We did a story last night about this teenager that was beaten to death there by 15 bullies. They're a Las Vegas teenager. As Jonathan Lewis Jr. died, he was beaten by these bullies in broad daylight outside of school, and somebody caught it on camera. Well, I looked at the footage today. It's been up. And the interesting thing is all the articles, not one mention of color. And yet when you look at the video, the young man that was stomped and kicked to death by this group of bullies was white, and almost everyone in the video I could see that was kicking and pounding on him were black. Now, you notice in a story, a news story, instantly, if a white person does something to a black person, the first thing they go, the perpetrator was white, the poor victim was black. But if it's opposite, if it's black hurting white or killing white, they never will mention race. You have to wait till you see the video. And finally, I looked, there were about 7 or 8 stories, and finally one of the last stories mentioned that most of the people in the video were black. And the latest news is 8 of these young people have been arrested late today and have been charged with murder. So justice, it looks like it might actually be coming after these young people, but we let them get out of hand. We put up with all the violence. We put up with the mob scenes in stores and the, you know, the...
I really doubt, Joe, that they will
get
right, because they know that if they really get charged with murder, then first of all they'll burn the city down. This is where NBC, ABC, CBS. This is where Kamala Harris tells burn, loot, and murder, and Antifa, go out and start burning down the cities now. Because, yep. You know, it should be
that we want to try them for, you know, they were just fighting back, right? And there'll be all kinds of crime. I was worried about that, but.
Remember, Joe, now you're supposed to be ashamed of being white. Don't you remember Coca-Cola told you?
Well, I don't pay any attention to somebody else.
Okay.
God made me, and I'm proud of what God made.
You better not be drinking Coke then, Joe. Listen, we're up against a hard break. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. A lot more to come.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.